On this first Sunday of 2025, I wish you all a happy new year. Rather than approaching each one individually, I hope you don't mind my just saying this in general to all of you. Happy new year, and may the Lord bless you all throughout this year. And I pray that together we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's always difficult to preach a first Sunday in the new year. What shall I say in the new year? And as I was praying about this and thinking about this, I thought it would be best to continue with the book of James. We have talked about the book of James before, you know, verses 2 through 4 and 5 through 7. And so now we come to 8 through 11. And I've entitled today's sermon, True Riches. And many of you I know are from Singapore, and you would certainly be familiar with the five C's of Singapore. For those of you who are not familiar with the five C's of Singapore, they are cash, car, credit card, condo or condominium, and country club. Five C's is a phrase used in Singapore to refer to materialism. According to Wikipedia, and I quote, it was first coined as a popular observational joke during the 1990s about the aspirations of some Singaporeans that exhibits materialistic tendencies by constantly seeking to obtain material possessions in an effort to impress others. Now that's quite a statement there. And then Wikipedia adds, and that's something that I did not realize, but in 2019, and I'm quoting again here, in 2019 it was published that a new five C's has emerged since the 2010s among Singaporean white-collar workers, with lesser emphasis on materialism. While cash was retained, other C's can now include culture, credibility, career, and convenience, among others. That's the end of the quote there. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but as Christians, we do not base our beliefs on Wikipedia. We do not base our beliefs on impressing others. We base our beliefs on the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. As I say that, I want to refer to one other person, the author Oz Guinness. Oz Guinness has written a book entitled In Two Minds. Interesting title. In it, he writes, and again I quote, when you believe, you are in one mind and accept something as true. Unbelief is to be of one mind and reject that something is true. To doubt is to waver between the two, to believe and disbelieve at the same time, and so to be in two minds. That's the end of the quote. So that is what James calls a double-minded man. As we see in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It is sometimes said, doubt is standing in two boats, with one foot in each. That's not a very steady stand. But with this as background, let us look now at James chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. So we begin with verse 8, the double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He is like the waves of the sea, going first one way and then another. On Sunday, you may think he's a genuine Christian. He's there every Sunday. He's in church. He's got his own regular seat. You know, some of you may not realize that, but we as pastors, it's very easy to tell if somebody is missing, because people tend to sit every week on the same seat. I know we do that. When we come, I know exactly where we are going to sit. And I know where you sit. So if I look, I say, oh, so-and-so is absent. Because unless he is pulling a fast one on me by moving somewhere else. But we're creatures of habit. And we sit at the same place. And so, on Sunday, you know he's there, faithfully, every week, same seat. But when it comes to Monday, you wonder, is he a Christian or is he not? Because he shows a very pious face when he is with Christians, but his weekday associates would never suspect that he is a Christian. So that's a double-minded man. He is unstable in all his ways. You cannot depend on him. If you ask him to do something, he may do it, or he may not do it. You never know. He's unstable. He has no spiritual discernment, and he's easily led astray by false teachers and false cults. Now, it is my prayer that none of us are in this category, that none of us are unstable in all our ways. So with that, let's go on to verse 9. The poor man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So let the brother, verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. He's a brother of low degree. Now the word low means low position, low power, low esteem, but it can also mean poor. Words often do not have a point of meaning, but they have an area of meaning. And so when you translate, that always becomes a problem. So, and I pity the interpreters who interpret, you know, the sermon into Chinese, into Korean. I've done interpretation work myself, English and Dutch. So I'm well aware of the problems that the interpreters have to go through. But interpretation is not easy. So if you take the word poor here, that's a good word, because in verse 9, the brother of low degree, the brother who is poor, verse in 10, it says, but the rich. And if you take rich and you take the opposite, you say it's poor. So poor certainly would be a correct word. So the poor man, he says, is to rejoice. Why is he to rejoice? Because he is exalted. Let the brother of low degree, let the brother who is poor, rejoice in that he is exalted. Now this low degree or this poverty is only man's estimation in God, because in God's eyes, all in his family are on the same level. You may be of low degree financially, or in ability, or in social standing, yet if none of these things need move you, and it should not affect others towards you either. Why do I say that? For there is no respect of persons with God, says Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. With God, there's no respect of persons. He doesn't look at your bank account and say, oh, you have a lot in your bank account, so you are good. No, there's no respect of persons with God. So whether you are poor or whether you are rich, doesn't matter. Every Christian has great reason to rejoice, no matter how lowly or how poor in his standing in the world or in the church. He is saved and on his way to heaven. He belongs to Christ and will someday share his glory with him. So it doesn't matter. Poor, rich, we are all alike, for there is no respect of persons with God. So, one day, we will share his glory with him. So that brings us then to the rich man in verses 10 and 11. We'll spend most of our time on that. Rich, well, that word means rich, means wealthy. So the rich man is to rejoice in that he is made low, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. So the gospel of Christ has a leveling effect. It exalts the lowly and humbles the high. It seems very difficult to reach the rich with the gospel. They're so wrapped up in their riches, and they trust so in them that they do not feel their need of the Lord. Reading in Matthew 19, and Jesus looked round about and says unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you're wondering about a camel going through the eye of the needle, there was a gate in Jerusalem called the Eye of a Needle. It was a small gate, and anybody had to go through. You know, camel would have to really have trouble getting through that gate. And even people would have to bow down to be able to get through that gate. So it's difficult, but it's a picture that is used to tell that it's difficult for rich people to go to heaven. But with God, all things are possible. Never forget that. That's Mark 10:27, Matthew 19:26. So it says twice, with God, all things are possible. So with God, it's possible for some rich people also to come to Christ. And we do see that. Some rich people do savingly trust Christ. So let the rich then, he says, rejoice in that he is made low. Now the word rejoice here in verse 9 applies to those of low degree, of those who are poor, as well as to the rich. For a rich man to link himself with a lowly Savior really means something. He would lose much prestige and might lose his wealth. Godless relatives, godless friends, employers, or business associates might no longer tolerate him. You know, we only associate with people that are rich. You're poor, so we don't want to associate with you anymore. I'll get a new partner. I don't want you anymore. But the rich is made low because in Christ he is no higher than the poorest Christian. So keep that in mind. Rich, poor, with God all things, all people are equal. So, that it goes on. The rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Flowers are beautiful, but they are soon gone. They don't last long. Of what value are riches in the sight of death or the light of eternity? Wise is the man who, for Christ's sake, is ready to become poor. Such will certainly be rich in eternity. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's it. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Think of the place where he was born. We just had celebrated Christmas just about a week and a half ago. He was not born in a palace. He was born in a stable. Poverty. So, though he was rich, as he was in heaven before he came to earth, with all the splendor of heaven, with all the glories of heaven, but coming down to this earth, poor. That's him. But he did that, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, in verse 11, he compares flowers and the rich man. For the sun is no sooner risen but a burning heat, but it withereth. All right, withereth the grass. Quite frequently in Palestine, along with the rising sun, there will come a hot south wind, which grows hotter as the day progresses. Many plants wilt under this burning heat. So, just as the flowers provide beauty for only a short time, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. The rich man may fade away, or his riches may fade away. It is much better to consider 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Listen to these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Lively hope. Have you heard that term before? You should. Lively hope. You may not have known, but that comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. So, according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's a passage to remember. Whom having not seen, ye love. We have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived 2,000 years ago, yet we love him. Though we see him not, we believe, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. That's it. We compare the flowers and the rich man. All right. Now, there's a few other verses I want to mention, and I think it's good to do so. First of all, Luke 12, verses 20 and 21. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So when it talks about riches, we are to be rich toward God, because he talks about the fool. The fool, he was laying up treasures on earth. He was not up laying treasures in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ called that man a fool. I don't think any of us would like to be called fools. So lay up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. And then Matthew 6, verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means wealth, money, riches. That's all that. We're not to look at those. One commentator put it this way: being rich toward God means using wealth to carry out his priorities, not our priorities. And then notice also in James chapter 2 and verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? It doesn't matter if you are poor in this worldly goods. Are you rich in faith? That's the question. Are you rather rich in worldly goods? Are rich in faith? It's a question you'll have to answer. And then notice also 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Note that riches is called uncertain. He says, don't trust in uncertain riches. Riches can disappear in a moment. You know, almost every day you hear things are stolen, houses burned down. Oh, estimated value $500,000. Almost every day you hear something like that. What you have can also be lost in a stock market crash. Quickly, it's gone. But we are to be rich in good works. So he says here that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. 1 Timothy 6:18. So to be rich in good works, encourage the believers to prioritize charitable works and generosity over the accumulation of wealth for its own sake. For individuals today, it suggests involving oneself in volunteerism. Volunteer. You know, the church is looking for volunteers all the time. Sanctuary cleanup. Volunteers. There's a way you can volunteer. Right there. Okay. Donating to charitable causes. Help missionaries. Provide for them. Even here, if I look at Lively Hope, Brother Suris' Children Education Fund, there is something. There's a charitable cause. Participating in outreach programs. Outreach. Go tracting. Go to mission fields. Take a trip to Cambodia or Myanmar or India. You know, there's so many ways to do that. Outreach programs. The church reaches out. You even have an associate missionary to reach out. So all this, that's all involved. To be rich in good works. To cultivate a mindset of sharing blessings with others. We can. And as a pastor and a missionary, I've been to many different countries. North America, Central America, South America, Europe, Africa, Middle East, Far East, and even Australia. I came here originally as a missionary. But what about you? You have blessings to share with others. Church has led mission teams to Cambodia on a number of occasions. And I know some of you have gone there. I know at least one person has gone to India. Probably should change that. More than one person has gone to India. You know, all these privileges that God gives you and me to serve Him, to be rich in good works. See, true riches is not seen in the amount of money that you have accumulated during your lifetime, but it is seen in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. He also said, what shall it gain a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Sad if that happens. And in John 6, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. You know, you might look as an example in the Bible to the person of Abraham. Not going to go through his whole life. But remember, he was a wealthy man. But he put God first in all he did. This year I started reading the Bible again in Genesis. And I'm up to chapter 22. I haven't read that chapter yet. But I do remember what it's about. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to offer your only son, Isaac. Abraham did not argue. He said, yes, Lord. And at the last moment, God said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you love me. Abraham was willing to offer his only son. Parents, what would your reaction be if your child said, I want to serve God full time? I've met some parents that said, not my child. I want my child to become rich. How sad. Rich in worldly goods, but not rich towards God. Look at Abraham. He put God first in all he did. And that's a good example to follow. Daniel, another good example to follow. Joseph, another good example to follow. Remember, don't be a double-minded man or woman. That is unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Remember also that the poor man shall be exalted and the rich man shall be made low. Therefore, labor for the incorruptible inheritance and make sure you are saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house shall also be saved if they also believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But make sure you are saved. That's your relationship with God. And that's true riches. To know Christ. To be saved. To look forward to the day. I just got word this morning that a dear friend of ours has gone to be with the Lord. Didn't come unexpected. He was 93. An age at which he can expect that the Lord may be calling soon. But be sure you are truly rich by knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then serve him faithfully throughout this new year. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for true riches only in Jesus Christ, that we may be rich in our faith, knowing Christ as Savior and being sure that we shall spend eternity with thee in heaven. And Father, We pray that while we are still here on this earth, that we may faithfully serve thee, that we may be, as thy word says, rich in good works. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.